Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for preparing our hearts for the word this morning. Lord, I'm ready. And just give you permission to speak this morning. Speak in this atmosphere, this incredible soil of love between Christ our husband and the church. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and hold them up. And we're going to say this together. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And he says, I am his bride and he is my husband. We are already married and joined as one body. The Holy Spirit in me is the down payment of all he's promised me. Oh, amen. You may not be excited now, but you will be. We're going to get back to our new series, HIS, which is an acronym for Humility, Intimacy, and Surrender. Humility, of course, is a precursor to intimacy with God. Intimacy with God is the precursor to surrender. Surrender allows us to bear much fruit after our husband's kind. Do you realize that all the fruit in your marriages, all the children you've had, is a byproduct of when you humbled yourselves one to another? You mutually submitted. You humbled yourselves, and that created intimacy, fully known and fully loved. You're not going to do that if you don't trust each other. So you humble yourself, and then you are intimate. You enter into the intimacy with one another. And ultimately, through that relationship and that safety, you do what? You actually surrender yourselves one to another. Every bit of fruit that's been born in your marriage was born out of humility, intimacy, and surrender one to another. So why would it be any different in the spiritual realm? The fruit we're going to bear after our husband's kind, and remember, our children with Christ are named love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to be the same way. It's going to be brought about the same way. What if, and I mentioned this earlier, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is simply full immersion in your husband's love? What if it's not this scary, weird thing that different groups have made it out to be? And I'm 46, so I've seen some things. Even in college, I saw some things that were just weird and very taxing about this whole, you got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Listen, when you get born again, you get a well. You've got the Spirit of Christ in you. In John 20, verse 22, before the upper room, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. After the resurrection, John 20, verse 22. And then, of course, we see the full immersion, the full giving of themselves to Christ their husband in Acts chapter 2. That's not weird. They were just incredibly immersed and full of Christ's love and his power. And the Holy Spirit came not only in them, but upon them. So everybody say, it's not weird. And you know, a big thing is, I think where the hang-up was, everybody was seeking manifestations and the gifts. Don't seek all that. How are you going to control something that can only come from God? So seek the Holy Spirit and simply say, the Holy Spirit, I want to be fully immersed in you. You have all of me. Here I am. All of me. Every part of my heart. All right. It is not our self-effort and working our heads off for Jesus that allows us to bear much fruit. Anybody ever been there that you work your head off for Jesus? You try to do really good and you try really hard. You remember the Avis approach, right, from the 80s. We try harder. Not bearing the fruit? Well, let me try harder. No, it doesn't come from working your head off for Jesus to bear fruit. It's your simple yieldedness and your availability to him that allows you to bear much fruit. Listen to this. It's our surrender to his life and love inside. If you're working for his love, you're blind to the fact you already have it. And it's in here. It's not created out here by what you're doing. So it's our surrender to his life and love inside where he touches our heart and our motives that brings about good, lasting fruit. It is a gross misinterpretation of the Bible to think that God is more interested in what we're doing outwardly than the heart and motive that's creating the action. That's a gross misinterpretation of the Bible. if we think God's more interested in what we're doing and our actions out here rather than the heart and motive that's creating action. Amen. Everybody say, this is the New Testament. Okay, so our heart and our motive matters. Now, we've been looking at the Gospel of John and the various times that Jesus mentioned the word eternal life. And John chapter 5, verse 39, I think is one of the best ones where he said, you pore over the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, but you won't come to me. You won't come to me. So obviously eternal life is this personal relationship with Jesus. And he consummates it with John chapter 17. I'm going to read verse 2 and verse 3 where he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son that your Son may glorify you. As you've given him authority over all flesh, that he gives eternal life to as many as you've given him. Here's verse 3. And this is eternal life. So he's mentioned it 5 or 6 times in the Gospel of John. And then he tells everybody, this is what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So the application of the word know here, and I've said it the other two times, I'm going to say it again. The application of the word know is a husband and wife union through which they bear fruit together. A face-to-face relationship like Adam knew his wife Eve and they bore a son. It's the same word as Luke 1:34 when Mary said to the angel, how am I going to get pregnant since I don't know a man? It's about union, okay? It's about this relationship between a husband and wife. It's the same word as Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, where Paul says, God gave me righteousness, are you ready for this, that I may know him. You've been made right and made clean and made pure. You're loved unconditionally. Why? So you'll know him. Everything he's done is so we can know him in this husband and wife relationship. In John 17, Jesus wants us to understand what Christianity and eternal life are actually about. He wants us to quit stressing, straining, and striving in the flesh and in self-effort and in willpower, or if you want to call it, won't power. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try really hard not to do it. Yeah, and you keep looking at it, you're going to do it. You need to look at him. He wants to move us from stressing and straining and striving and realize, listen, if we'll just know God, if that becomes the goal, I want to know God. How many of you know in marriage is not a one-time knowing? Don't make me explain that. It's not a one-time knowing on the wedding night. And okay, that's it. If you'll just know God, if that's the goal, and you'll be intimate daily with Christ, your husband, and you'll let him work in your heart, you'll bear much fruit. You'll bear more fruit than you ever thought possible. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. I didn't get to read this one last week, but I want to get back to some of these. Verse 29, for no one's ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it like the Lord does the church. You realize he nourishes and cherishes you. For we're members of his body, flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his bride, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. The whole marriage thing I'm telling you about, I'm really talking about Christ and the church. How many of you know God can take something in the natural that you can see to help explain something in the spirit you cannot see? That's all he's doing here. When we see these passages, and there's more than just Ephesians, but there's clearly a union, a supernatural yet very real union between your spirit and the spirit of Christ. Okay, this is not Peter Pan fantasy land. This has happened. Inside of you, there's been a marriage, there's been a union between Christ's spirit and your spirit. Remember when you invited him into your heart? He came in, and he married you. Oh, amen. And there's a reality, church, where you're flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, that you and Christ are one person. You're sharing the same body. We say, well, that sounds jacked up. All right, well, look at this. 1 Corinthians 6:16, the Living Bible. Don't you know that if a man joins himself to a harlot, she becomes part of him, and he becomes part of her? For God tells us in Scripture that in His sight, the two become one person. But if you give yourself to the Lord, you and Jesus are joined together as one person. New King James says you're one spirit with Him. So just like husband and wife become one, we become one person with the Lord. It's not crazy. Just like husband and wife become one person, we become one person with the Lord. So how many of you know Stacy and I are one person according to Scripture? But how many of you know she's still Stacy and I'm still me? Okay, in the same way, Christ and I are one, but He's still Christ and I'm still Steve. I'm not saying I'm Jesus. That can be refuted. Right? He's still Him and I'm still me, but we are one person. We are married. We are joined together. In the Spirit, it is a reality. In God's math, 1 + 1 = 1. 1 + 1 = 1. How about Romans 7:4? Therefore, my brethren, you've become dead to the law through Christ, the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. All right, to who? To Him who was raised from the dead, that we should what? Bear His children. We become this vehicle. He sows the seed within the body, and the body births fruit after our husband's kind. I mean, you got to have help to miss it. But we've had a lot of help throughout Christendom, right? I think a lot of people think Christianity is just a theological position. It's a set of beliefs that we adhere to. They'll say, are you a Christian? Yeah, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Even the demons believe that. There's no union in what you just said. Christianity is not a theological position. It's not a set of beliefs we adhere to. It's not a set of rules we follow. Can I get a witness? It's not about going to heaven. It's internal intimacy with Christ, your husband. If you take the believer's inner union with Christ out of Christianity, guess what you have? You got a lot of good rules. You got some great Bible stories. Got some wonderful principles. And you got a hero in Jesus Christ. He's the hero of the story. But no power to live it out. And no heart or motive with which to do it. No power. If you take Christ and our union with Him out of Christianity, it's no different than any other pagan religion. It's just dead letter. You realize every good and powerful thing that comes through us is a fruit of Christ's Spirit working in us. Look at this. I put it up on the screen for you. It's just another, any other dead, lifeless pagan religion if you take our internal marriage and union with Christ out of it. If you remove the new heart, the new creation, the new perspective that Christ our husband brings, His power, His life at work inside, it's just people trying to adhere to rules. Or principles. And there's some wonderful principles in Scripture. But Jesus said, don't pour over all the principles and never marry me. Right. Woo, that'll preach right there. We've all heard about this future event, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Am I right? The marriage supper of the Lamb. It's coming. And I'm not disputing that. There's something still to come for us that's of great magnitude. Aren't you glad this isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. What we see and experience on the earth is not it. There's still the consummation of the kingdom on the earth. There's more to it. There's an experience we're still yet awaiting. The resurrection of our body. Our joining with the Lord in the air. Where we're complete spirit, soul, and body with Him. That's yet to come. But I am not a bride waiting for a wedding in my heart. I'm already married in my heart. I'm already married to Christ in my spirit. 1/3 of my salvation is already complete. You say, well, how can that be? I've seen you make mistakes. Yeah, well, it wasn't my spirit that made that mistake. There's two other parts of me that are under construction. where I got this gardener, you know, living in me, and he's pruning away things that don't belong, and then he's strengthening the things that do. John 15, right? I'm the vine, you're the branches. My Father oversees the whole thing. He takes away the things that don't belong. Pruning is love. I'm glad he's pruning. I'm sure Stacy's glad he's pruning. But he's at work in me. Isn't that wonderful, though? He who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. This is the Living Bible. His presence within us is God's guarantee that he really will give us all he's promised. And the Spirit's seal upon us means that God has already purchased us. And that he guarantees to bring us to himself. There's just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. So, yes, there's more to it, but I'm not a bride waiting to get married. I am married. In my heart and my spirit. He is my husband. I am his bride right now. And through that relationship that goes, it's not a one-time relationship. So it goes on every single day. That's what's missing in Christianity. I mean, if you reduce Christianity to a trip to church on Sunday morning, you see what I'm saying? It's a week. It's an everyday relationship with a person. A husband who's moved in with me. And probably is cleaning the house, but thank God. That's a process. Stacy and I only thought we knew each other when we got married. You don't get to know somebody by dating them. Are you kidding me? I love young people. They're like, oh, I know him. I love him. You don't know anything about him. Are you living with him? Has he moved in yet? Stacy, this is where the famous quote came from. She said, well, if love is blind, marriage is a miracle. Because I see everything now. You don't get to know somebody till you marry them. Somebody better help me preach this thing because I'm telling the truth. Thank you. Thank you, Nikki. Go ahead and give God praise. That's good stuff right there. You don't get to know somebody till you're living with them and you're married to them. Thank you, Pastor. A lot of people think they know somebody when they're dating. It's just a casual acquaintance. And what difference is, if we're just talking to our husband on Sunday morning for 30 minutes, what difference is that than dating somebody? Every Friday night we go out and we're so in love. No, you're not. You don't even know each other. You see each other once a week. Woo! Thank you, Holy Ghost. Tight, but it's right. But after you marry him, that's when you really get to know somebody and be fully known by somebody. The veil is taken away. Everything's getting, and it's a process too. It's not just the wedding night. Oh yeah, we know each other. No, buckle up, buddy. Because here comes revelation. Year after year after year. So how serious is God about marrying you? Let me show you how serious he and Jesus are. John 14, 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you're going to show yourself to us? You're going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world. Okay, so he's talking about, I'm going to show myself to you by the Spirit. I'm going to come back to you. It'll be by the Spirit. But I'm going to show myself to you. The world won't be able to see me because all they can see is natural things. That's what he's talking about. And then verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him. And look at this. We're moving in. We, me and Dad, are coming to make our home with you. Now that's a whole lot different than, hey, come home to heaven. This is where me and God are. And you won't know us till you're dead. And then when you're dead, you'll be in heaven. You'll get to meet us. No, that is not what he said. We're coming to live in you by the Holy Spirit. Somebody ought to shout praise unto God. I'm telling you, that's good news. So they're moving in, and your body becomes the Lord and your home. It's not just you in there. You and Christ, your husband, are there. There's a union. You're living together. And can I say this? Christ, your husband, is comfortable in your dark, unkept places. He's comfortable there. We talked last week to the ladies that, you know, sometimes we pray and we believe God. We were talking in particular about depression and people who battle depression. And that word that the Lord prophetically gave was, I see you and I'm with you and I'm okay with you. Sometimes we suffer. Sometimes we wish things would change, but they don't change right away. But He is with us. And I want you to know that this morning. Christ is comfortable in your dark places. He's not afraid of where you're broken. Boy, somebody hear me, please. He's not afraid or ashamed of where you're broken. He's already moved in. And part of His role being in you is going to help together conform you to His image. Clean house is a way of saying that. But you know, when you move in together, that's marriage. Now you're doing life together on a daily basis. You live together. You're going to see each other every day. That is Christianity. The intimacy begins. You start this union, and through union and living together and spending every day together and doing life together, you start bearing fruit. Can I get a witness? It's so simple. We really start knowing each other. Me and Christ. He moved in, we started getting to know each other. And yes, how many of you know, He knew all about me when He moved in. But I didn't know He knew all about me, and I sure didn't know He loved me anyway. And so I had to come to know that, because I lived much of my Christian life fearful, shame-based, afraid, you know, if I did good, then he liked me, and if I did poorly, He didn't. I had to grow in my knowing of Him, and that He doesn't put His character and His commitment to me in my hands. Listen to that's a fantastic character trait for a husband. Why do we struggle so much in our natural marriages? Because we have not known marriage from Christ. We didn't learn how to be married from Him. We learned it from Dr. Phil and Oprah and whoever else, books, TV, movies. Oh, God forbid, movies taught us what marriage was. If you want a quality marriage, you need to learn how to be married from Jesus. And then not just learn it from Him, let Him execute it through you. You can go to church your whole life, and if all you know of God is through mediators, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, if all you know of God is Sunday morning service, you're not going to know Him very well. And I call all those mediators. But could you imagine me trying to know Stacy through just her parents? Talk to her parents, tell me all about Stacy. Talk to her friends, tell me all about Stacy. How many of you know there's a better way of getting to know her? Marriage, move in, live together, union. Now on a daily basis, we're getting to know each other. It's no different with Christ. How many in the body of Christ today only know Christ, their husband, through mediators? It's everywhere. It's because we missed John 17. We missed the covenant that's been offered, this marriage covenant in the New Testament. There's so much that you can learn. I want to be careful here. There's so much you could learn, you know, about each other when you got married, moved in together, right? Remember when she came out of the bathroom with no makeup on? And you're like, where's my wife? Was that all right? I mean, it's... What about with the guys? What's something that you learned about the guys? Don't know how to hang up and clean up stuff. Yeah.
Not mine.
I wonder how many guys got married thinking their wife would pick up after them. Let's see. When you get married, you're going to die. That's what's going to happen. You're going to die. I'm telling the truth, aren't I, Pastor? I'm telling the truth. It is a walk into your own death. So when you come to the altar, what happens at the altar? Things die. So when you got married, seriously, and I'm telling the truth, you died to being selfish. You died to thinking about yourself. That will not work in marriage. And I love that God gives us hormones. You're like, oh, I'm so excited to get married, and I can't wait, you know, wedding night and all that. And then He's like, yeah, well, you'll like that, but then you're going to die after that. (Laughs) But he's going to be with us the whole way, though. Amen? Coaching us up. We could go around the room today and hear testimony after testimony of how, you know, I thought I knew him, but when we got married and we moved in together, well, then I really began to know them. And how about this one? I'll put this up here. We get to know Christ through our marriage, our union, and by sharing our body. We literally share a body together. We are one person with Christ. And that's how we develop this union and how we develop in intimacy. So before intimacy with Christ, you thought through mediators. You thought through hearing the preacher, and you thought through your mama, and you thought through hearing your Sunday school teacher. You thought Christ was kind. But through intimacy, when he moved in, when you started talking to him every day, when you commune with him every day, then it became, I know he is kind. Through mediators, you kind of think it. But upon spending time with him and getting to know him. And, you know, sometimes people look at marriages and think, I wish I had a marriage like them. And they've been married a long time. Don't get jealous of where somebody else is in their marriage relationship with Christ. Amen. That just needed to be said. But so as we get to know him, then it's like we move from thinking he's kind, hoping he's kind, to I know he's kind. And then from there, how about this one, guys? When you begin to experience and you can literally feel his love and kindness for another person. Now you're locked in. Now you're ruined because you know he's real. I know he's real. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where you can literally feel and experience his love for somebody else. Typically starts growing that way once you've discovered how much he loves you beyond your faults and that his character is unwavering. And then we start becoming a channel. See, that's the fruit we're talking about. When you start seeing the love of Christ and the kindness and the patience and the perspective of Christ for other people, they're seeing him through you. That is the fruit of your union. Amen. That's so good. Knowing that we've experienced him firsthand, deep within our heart, deep within our motives. We get empowered. How many of you know when you sense his love and kindness flowing through you, you know he's real, but you're empowered too. It's empowering. Through mediators, I think he is. Now, marriage face-to-face, you know he is. And you grow in your knowing on a regular daily basis. And that's what it is, guys, to bear witness of Christ. Jesus didn't say, hey, the Holy Spirit's going to come and then you should go out witnessing. No, you'll bear witness of Christ. You'll literally bear witness and resemble him, reflect him in the eyes of other people. It's not about going witnessing, it's just being one. You want to see how big and amazing God really is? How about the fact that let's say I'm over here and I'm experiencing Christ's kindness for this young man. I'm praying for this young man. I can literally feel how much he loves. You know, and then in moments like that, out of your own mouth, out of your own belly, out of your own spirit, you'll say something to that young man of how much Christ loves you. And it won't be ritual. It won't be a form. It won't be words out of your mouth. He'll literally look in your eyes and believe you. You see what I'm saying? Where you're conveying in that moment, I want to tell you how much Christ loves you. And so Christ is coming through me in that moment and being seen by that young man. And at the same time, you're talking about how big God is? The same time, he's doing it in someone else in Africa. He's doing it in someone else in Texas. He's doing it in someone else in China. He's doing it in someone else in Georgia. All over the world, they couldn't beat him. It's fantastic. It's incredible how the seed was multiplied. Remember when he said, it's better that I go away. Because the devil only has one of me to contend with now. But when I go into that ground and die, I'm going to pave the way for all these bodies, all these brides to be filled with Christ himself. And he'll be loving and sharing himself with other people all over the world, all at the same time. Now, that's a big, great, and mighty God. Amen. That's so powerful. It's a spiritual kingdom. I hope you can see in that too. The reason they couldn't kill him, the reason they couldn't defeat him, his kingdom is spiritual. It's in the heart. It's in the unseen realm. It's a kingdom of the heart. And so here he is redemptively revealing himself all over the world. What does he need, though, to do it? All he needs is a willing bride who will what? Humble herself to her husband, allow herself to be intimate with him, fully known and fully loved. Not run away scared, but okay, I know I'm not there yet. I have broken places, but fully known and fully loved. And out of intimacy and trust, she surrenders himself. That's all he needs to reveal himself because he's spirit. Doesn't that sound so much more exciting than just memorizing Bible verses and going to somebody's house and regurgitating them? Dead letter. Dead religion. Once we begin knowing Christ in our marriage, he teaches us how to be married. I mentioned that a little bit before. He is my husband, dwells with me with understanding. Well, he's not going to be different. Where's my brother Bruce? He's not going to be different through me than he is to me. Amen? So he teaches me. He dwells with me with understanding. I'm his wife. I'm his bride. I make mistakes. He dwells with me with understanding. He teaches me how to be a good husband. He models it. And then listen, by his internal dwelling, he executes it through my willingness. I'm not trying to, let me be like my husband. No, let me yield to him. And here comes the fruit. He's not going to be different to you or through you than he is to you. So has he forgiven any of you? Isn't it crazy how Christians, the mean-spirited ones, they're all talking about how much God loves me and God's forgiven me and I'm so righteous and holy now, but then they just grudge on everybody else, look down on everybody else. So there's a disconnect there, guys. He won't be different through you than he is to you. Amen. So as Jesus teaches you what it is to be fully known and fully loved, guess what you get to do in turn? You get to demonstrate and model and manifest to other people what it is to be fully known and fully loved. You messed up? Well, okay. I'm here for you. You're safe with me. For better or for worse, I'm here. Where do we learn that? We learn it from him. Why we struggle so much in marriage? We don't look to Christ. We didn't learn and recognize the revelation. We're married to Christ. He's committed to us. For better or for worse, we learned all this generosity and forgiveness from him. Now, I'm not saying we wink at sin either. He doesn't wink at my sin. I can't get away with anything. So somebody, your spouse fails you, they spout off, they didn't show up on time, God forbid dinner wasn't ready. We say, listen, I'm here for better or for worse. It's okay. That sounds just like us in our marriages. Our relationship with the Lord is the perfect model of how male-female relationships should work. Are you listening? Now, you may be already married, but if you have kids or grandkids, please listen to what I'm about to say. Our relationship with Christ, our husband, is the perfect model for male-female relationship. Where did Christ and I connect first? Spirit, soul, or body? Spirit. Okay? He's come in and he's made union with my spirit. So we connect spiritually first. Any young man and young woman, if they're interested in each other or making eyes at each other or however that works, where do they connect first? Spirit. Tell me about your love for Christ. Is Christ the center of all things to you? Where's he taking you? What's his desire? Right? And then if it all matches up in the spirit realm, we get to know each other soulically, emotionally. Get to know each other's thought patterns, personalities, all that kind of stuff. And then in the end, the third one takes care of itself. If you're in love in the spirit and you're in love soulically and emotionally, but the world, you know, you watch a movie, it's like, hey, let's jump in bed together. Because they're carnal. All they know is the natural side of things. That's a train wreck waiting to happen. Jeremy, you guys can come, or Gavin, you guys can come. How about this? We learn security from Jesus. We learn commitment from Jesus. We learn how to love from Jesus. We learn how to cherish. Guys, we learn how to nourish and cherish a bride from Christ and how he nourishes and cherishes us. But if we're never abiding in that, we're not going to be able to give it away, are we? Because you can't give away something you're not receiving. That's why this series is very important to the health of this body. This is really, I believe, a now word from Christ to this body. How about this one, ladies? We learn how to respect our husband from Christ. We do. How to honor. That's why, you know, Paul said, honor and respect your husbands as the Lord. Submit unto to your husband as you would to the Lord. We learn that from him. I want to close with this. My pastor, his name is Dwayne Sheriff, and he has a church down in Durant. Many of you know that. And Pastor Dwayne and Sue had been in the ministry full-time for a while, and they were flat broke. Flat broke. They had the two boys, so the two girls hadn't come yet, but the two boys were there, pretty young, and they were in their home one day. And they emptied the cupboard. They're sitting at dinner, and they're all four eating something different out of a can. And the devil quoted Dwayne in that moment of his own shame and embarrassment, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And the devil said to Dwayne, he said, Dwayne, you know it's written that if a husband doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. So he just heaped on him all this guilt. Look what you've done. You stepped out into ministry. Look what's happened. Shortly after that, a knock came on the door, and a woman that they had known from the church where they were pastoring just a couple of weeks, they'd known this woman. They opened the door, and she said, I am so sorry if I missed God, and please forgive me. I'm in no way am I trying to embarrass you. It could not even enter my mind that a man of God such as yourself might need food. But I have 5 sacks of groceries, steaks and chicken and all kinds of incredible stuff in my car. But if this is wrong, just tell me to go. And he yanked her in. Basically said, be quiet. Where's the food? You know. As they, after she left, as they started unpacking all this food, and they just can't believe it. The Lord spoke to Dwayne, and listen to what he said. He quoted in 1 Timothy 5:8. And he said, Dwayne, listen to me. I'm your husband, and you're my wife. And if I don't provide for you, I'd be worse than an infidel. You see how he turned that around? I'm telling you, Christ is madly in love with you. Christ is your husband. He's your supply. He's your provider. You belong to him. You can trust in him. He went on to say, listen, it may not always easy, but I'm be easy. It may not always look easy, but I'm always going to be here for you, and I'm always going to make sure you have what you need. Will you stand with me? Oh, hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you have never met this Christ, not only that we've spoken of, but is who is here present. And you want to invite him into your heart for this marriage, for this union, to let him come and join himself to your inner man, your spirit and your heart. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to receive Christ today into my heart. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? Anybody else? I want to know Christ in my heart as my husband. Anyone else? Thank you, Walt. Anyone else? It's a wonderful journey. Beautiful journey. Well, let's pray together with our two friends here this morning. Will you say this after me? Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning to receive Christ as my husband. I welcome you and he into my heart and into my spirit. Thank you, Father, that we now share a home and that your love is my love, and that your heart is my heart. Thank you for making me brand new and for allowing me to live together with you for all of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Congratulations. Amen. I have a gift and a book for both of you, so just see me here in the altar when we're done. I want to say this, if you're here as a believer, and I don't know who wouldn't as a believer, but I want to pray for you if you got this tugging on your heart about reconnecting in the revelation of your marriage to Christ. He is your husband. He loves you like crazy. And he will provide for you. He will supply you. So if that's you, I just invite you, just open your heart this morning as I pray. And
you've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.